Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Yep, we're good. Yeah, we're good. All right.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and I don't know about the other boys, but I am still recovering from the Dream Team Talk live show that was on Thursday night. The beers were flowing. The bullcrap was even worse. But it was a good night, and great to see the boys here in Melbourne for the first time in a long time. But we are talking all things round 19, waiver wire pickups, buy, sell, and holds. If you are playing in your finals, some of you may have even finished your finals, like our good mate Brennan, who became a three-peat champion today. 3 years in a row, he's taken out the title in his league. He does give us some thanks, but we'll only take a small credit because it's all him, so well done to him. And we're looking at all the things we noticed throughout the weekend and a bit of a listening to today. We've got some Keeper League talk, some buys and sells as we're heading into towards the end of the year for your listening pleasure. And as always, we have Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, Jono, doing great. G'day, listeners. And I just wanted to say congrats to everyone like Brennan who's taking out the flag, or even if you're just starting to warm up into your fantasy finals, if you've made it, congrats. That's what it's all about. But Jono, you mentioned you were up. Well, I'm up as well because your brand has just taken an absolute smoking this week. It has been bad times for the Crockett brand. Let's start it off at the beginning. Curly Hampton, retired. Yes,
Candlelight Vigil, my place from now until the end of the season. Just every final I'm in, I'm just doing it for my boy Curtly. It's all about Curtly this year, and I'm going to dedicate the win to him.
Yeah, he was your OG boy, if I recall. So it's taken a while, but you finally chopped his legs off. You managed to take Joe Danaher out in a season, so well done there.
And Grant Virgil, haven't got him on the park either.
Oh, he's retired. His retirement press conference will be next week. I've beaten you in our home league, which like never happens. Very, very rare. I know it's a dead rubber. That's probably why I've been able to. The fantasy gods have smiled on me there. But the big one, the piece de la resistance, Bruce Willis, not a Christmas movie, Die Hard.
It couldn't be better.
He's
just trolling everyone. The director had come out and said it's a Christmas movie. And I'm believing the director because he's the one who's in charge. Bruce Willis is just an actor. He knows nothing. All he does is read words off a piece of paper. And that's probably what he's done on that the roast that he did. Read it off a piece of paper to get the internet talking.
No one gives a shit about the screenwriter or the director, John. It's all about Bruce Willis. If Alan Rickman were alive, I'm pretty sure actually on his epitaph it says, not a Christmas movie. So there we go. Your brand smoked. Good times. They are a-rolling. I'm up and about. That's just how it works. That's just we're petty people. We are petty people. And when I'm down, you're dancing on my grave. And when the script flips, it's good times.
Hopefully this time next week when our home league kicks into our finals this week, the roles will be reversed and I've had the win over you straight to a prelim, hopefully.
Oh, well, once Shannon Hearn gets rubbed out for 4 weeks tonight, that'll be it'll be bad.
Honey Church for unable to avoid a hit. But he is back from his suspension, sunning himself on the Gold Coast, wherever the hell he's been, trying to win a ute. We welcome back to you, Statesman. How you been?
I've been absolutely fantastic. Yes, enjoyed a little bit of warm sun. I will say I do apologise for the listeners not being around for 3 weeks, which makes Steve and Jono think it's all about them and talk about movies for three quarters of an hour. So I do apologise to our listeners. Let's get to business because we've got some great stuff to talk about tonight.
And as always, we do have the third McLaughlin on the show. He'll be talking all things injuries. I'm not too sure how he ended up on Thursday night. There was talk that he may have gone back-to-back with a bit of urinating incidents a la Duna, but yet to be confirmed. Welcome to you, Cam.
Yeah, that's a hard one to follow up, and I can at least confirm that I've had a hangover since, and it still hasn't retired. So after you lads left, we continued on for a little bit, and I genuinely can't remember anything except McDonald's after that, so...
Good times to be had.
Yeah, how did we get back to the station, Jono?
We walked.
We did walk. I thought we made it, but I wasn't sure.
It was about a 15-minute walk from the pub to the station, and I felt it the next day because my calves were absolutely killing me because when you wear skate shoes, they're not exactly made for walking. So, but it was good to have a mildly racist Uber driver on the way home, just talking all things Sunday night programming. Let's just put it that, and African gangs.
God.
Mid-60s, retired, just doing it for the love of driving people home. But
is that what Tony's doing these days? That's
yes, it is. But we have a show to get through. We do are on the social media. If you want to check us out on Twitter, you can do that by following us at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15 as well. Search us on Facebook, search for The Draft Doctors there, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. But just talking all things that we've noticed throughout the round, and why don't you kick us off, Steve?
Yeah, thanks, Jono. And there's always things to notice, especially when players are going up and down like yo-yos. So Richmond, just unbelievable there. I know we've mentioned it a number of times, but they've won by 10 goals and they've been outscored in Dream Team. It's just unbelievable. Jack Higgins, I think he's a must-own in keepers. He's really starting to get that midfield rotations. And you know, especially when you look at guys like Sean Grigg and Shane Edwards, who both spend plenty of time in there, or on the wings at the very least, they're both 30 this year, so they'll probably be moved on in the next couple of years. So Jack Higgins, we know he's been a fantasy beast in his junior career, so that's starting to translate into the seniors. North Melbourne, Mad Jack Dore, he actually looked pretty good against the undersized Collingwood. He kicked three goals. He scored you the 82 Dream Team and 70 Supercoach. Quite like that. He certainly presents well as a forward, but I still think that's partly because of Collingwood's lack of anyone over 6 foot in their defence. But Paul Ahern just continues to impress. Don't be too worried about the fantasy scores. It is just being killed by his time on ground. Again, 24 disposals, 11 of those contested in 64% time on ground. That's just fantastic. We know he's had his injury problems. I would suspect with another preseason, this guy's going to be great. And, you know, Sean Higgins is getting older, so there's going to be a midfield role for this guy in 2 years to just absolutely light the competition up. And Jono, I wanted to talk about a player you own, Jack Crisp. Lowest score of the year, 44 Dream Team, 64 Supercoach. And we saw Sam Murray come back into the team for Collingwood, and I kind of got to worry if this is a bit of a problem for Jack Crisp, because his best scores have been when Sam Murray's out of the team. Now, watching, for me, it seemed like Crisp was doing a lot more defensive work, and Collingwood were quite happy to use Sam Murray and Braden Maynard as the distributors and the guys running off the half back and pushing through the midfield. And we know Collingwood, like I said, they're scrapping for a defender. I'd be a little bit worried. We know North Melbourne only went inside 50, 44 times, so not a huge amount. Collingwood were turning the ball over in the midfield. But as a Crisp owner, are you at all worried about this trend? I don't think you can't start him, but
I'm not too worried about that, especially seeing as Murray is about as good by foot as Taylor Adams. So give it a week or two and he'll be out of that team quick smart.
Sam Murray.
That's cutting.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you can't not start him, but I maybe think you just lower the expectations fractionally. Like, maybe he's not going to hit those 120s.
Oh, look, he's exceeded all expectations this year. I wasn't expecting the 90-odd averaging a year from him. I thought probably low 90 to 88. That's where it was about for Crispy Bacon this year, but certainly not closer to the 100 mark. But once Sam Murray's out, we'll be fine. He'll be fine.
And a really good game for Josh Dacos as a lead-in. Got the ton pretty impressively in the Dream Team format. On to Carlton, and another man who got his first ton, Matt Kennedy. Seemingly been a long time coming. We've all sort of thought the midfield opportunity, he's had his injury struggles, he's had his time on ground struggles, he's had struggle getting the ball to his foot, he seems to just want to handball it every single time and it's killing his scores, but he got his first AFL fantasy ton. He still hasn't played 30 games, we've got to remember that, he's still very, very young in his career, but maybe, look, he's hit the mid-80s game time the last couple of weeks. I'm just wondering if it's sort of because Carlton were down a couple of rotations with the early injuries to Fisher, and, you know, I certainly like him going forward. But,
and playing Gold Coast Suns this week as well.
You think Carlton are going to win that?
No, it's just going to be a nil or draw, I think. Mind you, Suns did look pretty good on the weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Peter Wright, get on board. And just in the last game, defenders again against GWS, it really is a thing. We got Jasper Pittard hitting 100, Dream Team 87, Supercoach. Darcy Byrne-Jones, 84, Dream Team 78, although he was playing a forward tagging role. Dan Houston got 82, Dream Team 100, Supercoach. Tom Cleary, big game. Even Leanert in his first game put up some great numbers. So, defenders against GWS. And like I said, Darcy Byrne-Jones did go forward and put a defensive tag to try slow Lockie Whitfield down, who was just cutting up to ribbons in that first half. So, certainly a lot of interesting moves. And just it just goes to show you know, you don't always know. A lot of layouts again this week. Switches happening.
It's just an hard one. Interesting scoring week fantasy wise in general. Like, really? Hardly saw any tons the Friday night and the first couple of Saturday games, and then even the Saturday night games was mainly all Geelong players who got the tons in your fantasy scoring. But yeah, it's just an interesting scoring weekend, but still some big scores out there this weekend anyway. What have you got for a statesman this week?
You cruise, you lose. How about Sydney Swans at quarter time? They're just enjoying life, playing a bit of Hollywood football, and sure enough, the young team, full of desperation and hope, put the pressure on, and there was no way back for the Swans after that. I will put a little sidebar on this. I was a little bit angry because I brought in salary cap Mr. Heaney, because they had the Gold Coast, and it seemed to go up his way about three times a quarter, so a massive 65 from him. So I will say I was a little bit salty with regards to that one. The next one is the Gold Coast themselves. They resisted bringing in those senior bodies. We've been waiting for Barlow to come back. There's quite a few good senior players missing and playing kneeful at the moment, but they still won. They're building confidence with the list, and they actually unearthed some great young talent and some really good potential long-term scorers. So a couple to think for your dynasty leagues or your keeper leagues. Will Brodie looks an absolute ripper. Very young, 2 metre Peter. We've seen him actually ton up previously. It's good to see him back in the team, and he's one that we want to develop. And certainly one that you lads may have not heard about before, but a nice, good-looking lad named Lockie Weller popped up with a 109, which we might have to say if your name's Lockie and you play for Gold Coast. But he was actually quite impressive. In about time, he got the right type of roles that actually suit him. Thirdly, Zach is back. And maybe we should consider that he was actually never away. Yes, he had a slow start to the season. And yes, he's had to learn how to deal with a tag because he has been the person that's got the number one attention at the Essendon Footy Club. But 124 average in his last three games, 116.8 in his last five. That includes two games where he was actually tagged. If you take the concussion from round one out of his scores, and the following two games, because we do know that many players seem to take a bit of time to recover from those concussion injuries, he's actually averaged 108 in his last 14 games, which would put him in the top eight midfielders this season. So Zach Merritt is travelling very well. Zach Merritt is worth it, and he's probably undervalued right now because people are talking about him in the negative terms. So he's definitely a buy option, is Zach Merritt. Elliot Yeo, one of the best midfielders. Guess what happens when you play him in the midfield? They score well. 130 this weekend. An absolute ripper game by Yoey. He can play anywhere, we know this. But please, West Coast, keep him in the midfield. He really can rack him up. And last but not least, and we've really got to talk harshly about this one. Can someone actually tell me what happened on Sheet Island? Did something horribly wrong go at Tribal Council?
Yeah, he's just...
Is someone...
parked on a wing, and the way the doggies were turning the football over, he was not getting any piece of that action whatsoever.
He's out of favour. He's lucky to get a game, and when he does, he can hardly get his hands on it. It's just a... It's a horrible year for Dom Sheed. Everyone was expecting this was his major breakout year, with a couple of their senior players in Mitchell and Pritis leaving. It was going to be a couple that got the rewards, and Dom Sheed was the key one of those. It's not happening, so I don't know where his career is heading right now. If Marston's getting a game before you...
And Marston actually played pretty well.
Yeah, Archie's ruined Dom Sheed. That's all I can attribute that to.
All right, some of the things I've noticed this week. Question to you boys. Do you think Melbourne will be psychologically shot from that loss to the Cats on the weekend, or will they just harness that power and just go Hadouken against the rest of the competition and go on to win the flag? Because they were down and dead after that game. They just looked completely lost, like they had lost a grand final. It just goes to show you it meant a lot to them, but it's hard to bounce back from a loss like that.
Well, look, it's going to be interesting, and a road trip to Adelaide, probably a tough ask. Geelong's a hard place to win. I know the circumstances.
They played pretty well there.
Yeah, I kind of look at it the other way. I mean, you know, maybe it's just that, maybe it'll steal them. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I think it's pretty interesting as well, because remember, this is the second time they've lost by a kick to Geelong in the same year.
After the siren.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, that's probably why they were a little bit over-deflated. All I can say from that game is I'm glad Bailey Fritsch was back out in the wing.
Yeah, he looked pretty good out in the wing there on the weekend. Reece Stanley, do you know he can ruck these days? He's actually pretty good as a ruckman. I reckon he broke even with Gorn and maybe even beat him on Saturday night. Everyone was talking about the 10 minutes against the Western Bulldogs last Saturday night, but Jesus Christ, it's the Western Bulldogs who play a key forward as a ruckman, so of course Gorn's going to dominate, but... Reece Stanley is looking good, and if you've got him in your team, he's scoring quite well for you too, and could potentially win you a final. Jack McRae sort of got the Hutchings tag. It wasn't completely shut down, but it seems like a second game blues for Jack McRae. We've seen it with a lot of players this year. They come back from injury, absolutely destroy it, and then that second game back, their scores drop significantly. So it could be just that they're up and about for that first game, and it catches up in the second game. But McRae will be fine. He still got plenty of the ball. Didn't quite score as well, and they've got Port Adelaide in Ballarat next weekend as well. The Saints, well, you can just strike a line through them. They are absolutely cooked. They were pretty horrendous and looked pretty disinterested on Friday night. If you do have Saints players like I do, most of you would have trade deadlines by now, so you can't get rid of them, but just got to roll with those punches. It was an interesting stat that came out. When the Saints wins, Billings scores up around the 100 mark, but when they lose, he's just putting out that absolute crap we've seen on the weekend. But to be fair, he was okay on the weekend. And my last one, if you can't handle your grog, do not go to the football. We saw those scenes at the end of this Cats and D's game with people just punching on in the grandstand there. It's not on. If you want to have a drink, do what I do. Sit at home and just abuse your TV and then just troll people on social media. It's much more fun that way and less harmful. That's the things I've noticed for this week. But moving on now to the waiver wire pickups of the show. And when we do talk about our waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy, 75% ownership or less. Not too many for me this week. A lot of people have either finished their finals or just starting their finals or in the midst of their finals. But Steve, you mentioned him early in the show. It is Matt Kennedy for me. 35% ownership. He did turn up in AFL Fantasy. Got you the 91 Supercoach playing the Gold Coast Suns. This could just be one of those horrible games to watch, but really good fantasy-wise. So expect Matt Kennedy to continue on his merry way. I do have Alir. He's in 41% of teams. He's been good the last couple of weeks. Got you the Supercoach ton this week and a couple of 80s in AFL Fantasy. The Swans are playing Essendon this week, so using his height, he can pick off a few marks coming inside that defensive 50 for him. Nick Newman, he's still in 61% of leagues. I thought he was okay to good on the weekend. He's starting to find the ball now. So, again, with Essendon, if it is that transition game and they're playing the wings at Etihad Stadium on Friday night, expect him to get plenty of the ball as well. And my last one, he is in just 54% of teams. He had 25 disposals and 8 marks on the weekend. That is Brody Smith, people. He's back. Played in the Sandfall. Probably won't play at all this at all, but if you can stash him, get him on the pine there, because Adelaide do need his run and drive off the defensive 50. What have you got there, Steve?
Yeah, I actually think I have a couple rippers. Jono, I know it's really important for some people in their fantasy finals. They've got some injury worries. How about Liam Duggan? Only 50%, 57% owned. Playing North Melbourne this week. And North Melbourne have actually been pretty handy for defenders to score against. So if you're looking for 80 points, I think that's a good move, especially with Shannon Hearn in some doubt. Maybe Duggan can find a little bit of the bill. How about Jarryn Geary, 64% owned, playing the GWS? We just spoke about how defenders are scoring quite freely against GWS. We saw a number of great scores again today. I think he's good for the 80. He scored, I think, 91 this weekend, 91 Supercoach at the very least. How about another St Kilda player we want to talk about? A guy getting some forward ruck minutes, and that's Rowan Marshall. Just dropped a lazy 114 and 88 Dream Team points in the last 2 weeks. Only 32% owned. He's coming up, these next 2 weeks, he's got GWS and the Western Bulldogs. Not exactly the strongest ruck divisions going around. So if you're in need of a forward, Rowan Marshall could be a really good free hit. Those have been some fantastic scores you've been able to pick up for absolutely free. I spoke about him before. Peter Wright scored you very well on the weekend, playing against Carlton at home. That could be a great matchup.
And just Jones last, could miss as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's cleared of the ACL. Well, Cam will tell us about the injuries later. But, yeah, certainly a chance there. And how about the last one? If you need a ruckman, Jordan Roughhead scored 101 Dream Team and 82 Dream Team in the last 2 weeks. Going against Port this week. That can't be a bad thing.
It cannot. Yeah, it's interesting, that one. With Port Adelaide, once they lose Ryder there, it's like playing Geelong. They just give up the ruck fantasy points. It's fantastic. Do you have any waiver wire pickups for us there, Cam?
Yeah, just the one. There's a lot of talk around this kid earlier on the year, and he kind of hasn't put the year together the way that you'd see. But Ryan Clark put out a good score for North over the weekend. I think he's only owned in 59% of teams. North are going to be a little bit desperate. I don't know if you saw Scott Thompson on the weekend looking a little bit like Red Skull from the movie Captain America. He might pick up more of the ball and he might be a bit more consistent.
Don't mind it at all. And if you want to check us out, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud each and every week. Just hit the little subscribe button. And if you've got a couple of minutes, do leave us that 5-star rating and review. Nothing this week. We must have washed our hands of all the people coming out for my blood, which is good. I can take a break for a week or two.
Your brand's in tatters enough, my friend.
Anyway, bad luck just come in threes, the people can't stand my voice and this, that, and just had a crap week on and off the field. So it happens to the best of us. But Steve, what have you got there in your dozen deals, buy, sell, or hold each and every week? I know you haven't. You've passed the reins over to Sam, but I thought you might have had something this week.
Yeah, no, I do have a little something up my sleeve. I put a lot of time and effort into it this week, just in case you haven't passed your trade deadline. Like you're playing, let's say you're playing your finals in rounds 21, 22, 23, and you trade all the way there. I've got this advice: buy Cats and sell Suns. Just purely matchups. Cats got three good matchups, Suns got two really bad ones. That's all you need to know.
Short and sharp, I don't mind it. And as always, we haven't had the segment for a couple of weeks, but the Statesman Skippers, what have you got for us this week?
As always, we'll just quickly talk about the some loophole options and then give you a Captain Risky, and obviously all the captain options will be pumped out in Statesman Skippers, which will be out on Friday. So the loophole, obviously this weekend on the Friday night, we have Essendon against the Sydney Swans. And I know this sounds a little bit salty, but not Isaac Heaney this weekend. Just lay off him until we can see him pump out a few good scores. It has to be the greatest man on earth, and that's Lunchmeat. Just a tackling machine. He's going to continue putting the pressure on the Sydney Swans. So it is Devon Smith, your number one target there for your loophole. And being a forward right now is an absolute special. Of course, Zach Kennedy and Parker are all worthwhile. Obviously, Parker's been up and down. But I will say the game he scored 59 two weekends ago, he was absolutely everywhere. It just didn't fall for him. So I think he's actually in great form. The team played a shocking game against the Gold Coast, but he still had a major impact with 119 Dream Team score. So Kennedy, Parker, Zach or Lunchmeat, get hold of those. Just be wary of Isaac Heaney just for a couple of weeks. See if it is a bit of a hangover with that concussion. The captain risky for the week, which was sort of done on the spot when we hooked up with the boys, but it's actually going to be Todd Goldstein this week. So he's the captain risky of the week. He's up against the Eagles in Melbourne. He is in fantastic form for anyone that actually has been holding him throughout the year. Most people probably would have thought until the bye weekends that he was actually having a pretty poor year. Well, he's turned that around, has been magnificent form. In fact, you might even look in the last 5 weeks, he might be the in-form ruckman in the competition. So Todd Goldstein, without Nick Nat, and just the person that's been used to rucking against every club's number two or relief ruckman, which is Scotty Lysette, Goldstein should have a day out. So he's the captain risky for round 19.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. And coming up, we've got Cam McLaughlin with all the injury reports from round 18, kicking off from Friday night.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll go a little bit earlier and we'll talk about one of the best defenders of the entire year going down with a broken wrist, James Sicily, out for the fantasy season. He might be back for finals, but I would not consider him to be returning any time before then, so probably time to head for a waiver pickup. Now, from this one, I was really looking for Ryan Burton this weekend to sort of pick up those points, and he just didn't. No one did, from what I could tell. James Warple sort of floated in and out and got around the ball, but yeah, Burton's still a bit soft. Bit disappointing, really.
Is that just due to the lack of inside 50s for Carlton? Like,
it really could be. I mean, I was watching till about halfway through the first quarter, and it was nil to about 1,000, and I just switched it off. I don't know. To be honest, I just watched the stats after that because it was not worth the time. Second one though, from that game, just pre-game, Jaeger Bomb was a laid out. It was his hip, so that's pretty good for owners. It's not his knees, his troublesome knees. All reports online suggest that he's going to be okay and we'll play next week. It was more of a bit of a luxury to keep him off the field because they were only playing the Witches Hats. Sean McKernan is going to miss the rest of the fantasy year as well, so he's done a high hamstring whomp. He's been in hot form, and to be honest, from as far as McKernan goes, I don't think he'll play another game for the Dons. I think he'll put his name up for trade at the end of the year. knowing that when Joe Danaher comes back, his time on ground will basically be in the VFL. The next one, just from the bit of a rant, and I don't like to go on rants, but bit of a rant here. Given there were no actual injuries in the Friday night game, just I'm going to add anyone that chose to use this game as a platform to complain about the state of the game or Friday night fixtures, just as a blanket, just as a blanket call, because it's Maddie's match, like it's for charity, and it needs a big platform to make sure that people, that a lot of donations are brought in. So there are some things that are a little bit bigger than, I guess, your entertainment, and this was one of them. So basically, get lost for you guys. And then finally, the final injury list is basically everyone that attended the Dream Team Talk Live show. I've had a sore head for the last couple of days. I've eaten nothing but grease, and I feel just rubbish. But it was a brilliant night, and thanks very much, lads, for saying hello.
Oh, I backed it up Friday night by smashing another 16 beers, and felt good.
I actually did the same. I tried my best to back it up, and I looked at the beer, and then the beer looked at me, and I said, "Oh, you can just not."
No. I felt seedy, and I thought, "I'll have one beer." You know, hair of the dog. You feel better. I'm like, "Oh, that feels good." And it feels good. It feels good. And 16 beers later, it was good.
I had this weird Crocodile Dundee moment where the beer looked at me, and I crumbled into the fetal position. It was not so good.
Nah, I was fine. It was just after, about 2 o'clock, just watching telly, Fast and Furious movies, and Predator.
Oh, man. I had a blazing hot Thai stir fry just to get that vitamin B chili. No, it was great. It was perfect. It was what I needed. I was on the rosé last night. That's how good it was going, so.
Yeah, I didn't have too much to drink last night. I was pretty cooked after last night.
I know we're talking some good stuff here, but I reckon there's a great man who's itching to talk some keepers.
Absolutely, absolutely. We do have some keeper content for all the listeners out there. Stacewin, this is your bag, so why don't you drive it for us?
I certainly will. So what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is do a club by club sell or buy. It's not going to be a list of 30 players from each club. We'll pick on 2, 3, or 4 players, a little bit variant depending on the club and their situation and how they're structured. We'll look at some sell options and we'll look at some buy options. Of course, a little bit of the sell will be age and while they've still got some value, but a little bit on the trends of what's been happening with their scoring. So we'll quickly go through each club and then I might just open the floor to have any discussions, arguments, or gut feel about what your thoughts are. So we'll start off with Adelaide, and I've got 3 major sells. First one is Bryce Gibbs. I just believe that it's a matter of time where his output is going to start to drop. He's got great value right at the moment, and is one of those players that you've got to assume and take the value while it's actually there in a keeper league. Now, Bryce Gibbs would have been one of the most underrated players while he was at Carlton. For some reason, that's changed as soon as he's changed clubs. And there's a lot of people on him in the fantasy world this year. So you've got to use and sell. One whose his value is dropping, but he's good enough at the moment that if you've got an injury, if you own Patrick Ryder, or someone like that, he's worthwhile actually purchasing. So that is Jacobs. I reckon very soon his career in the fantasy world is going to be over, and I think Adelaide will start looking at different ruck options. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't actually hear ruckman used at trade time for Adelaide Football Club. So there'd be a couple of targets for them, but Jacobs needs to be sold now, I do believe, while he's still got some value. And the last one, and I know he's signed a 5-year contract, is Sloan. I think Sloan is a real concern with injury and with tag. He's got a good reputation, and while he's got a 5-year contract, that could be part of your sales pitch, is he's still got another 5 years left in him after this year. And the buy for them, there's actually not a lot of options until you understand what they're going to do on the list management side. But Wayne Malira, I think, is going to get a fair bit of the footy as his game time on ground increases. So any thoughts on Adelaide's prospects, gentlemen?
Oh, I'd probably just add Seedsman as a sell as well.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got value. I would have said 5 to 6 weeks ago, you're spot on.
I think if you package him up, like, you're not going to be able to trade him straight one-on-one, but the average probably still looks good enough if you threw him in as steak knives. But that's
yep.
How I'm working it.
Agreed. Any other thoughts?
No, I love it.
All right, we'll move on to Brisbane. So the sell options for Brisbane, Steph Martin, one of the top three ruckmen, so he's got some value, especially if someone's going for a premiership right here, right now, and haven't got a top-line ruckman. He's got some value. Zorko, another risky player when we're talking about the tag, but when he gets freed up, is a massive scorer. So people will always have interest. It looks like I'm talking half your team here, Steve.
Just keep finishing top of the ladder, and you know, that's fine.
Exactly. Don't win any premierships, but finish top of the table. That's good, mate.
We're basing on the EPL model. That's how I roll.
Yeah, exactly. But Zorko is getting long in the tooth as well. So while he's got some big value, I think it's worthwhile. Be interested to see what happens with Brisbane. They've got to manage quite a few senior players, so it'll be interesting to see which ones stay and which ones go. And Robbo is the next one. So one of the highest averaging forwards, has really good impact, but at 29 years of age and all these quality young kids coming through, I reckon he's one that drops off very, very quickly. I reckon he just disappears from the football scene at an earlier than expected time frame. The buys, and they're pretty sexy buys. Rayner, who you can get a fair bit on the waiver wire, that man's going to be a jet. McCluggage, who's been so impressive the second half of the year, but his average is still in the 70s. He'll probably retain his forward status for one more year, maybe two, but he's going to be a midfielder, but he's going to rack it up. And whether this one should be on the buy or not, because if he's not already seen as a top-end defender, and that's Witherden, he is going to be a jet, that boy. Any thoughts on Brisbane?
Yeah, I agree on the McCluggage and Rona. They're the two guys I've had in the buys, sort of all Brisbane players there. Like any of those young gun midfielders, if you can snaffle them up pretty quickly before they have a breakout year, then certainly be looking to grab one of them, because they'll probably have that forward status at least for another year or so as well before they really break out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that McCluggage actually has a lot of similarities to Whitfield as far as his game goes. Just a lot of kicks. It gets very fantasy friendly.
So we expect 6 months out?
6 months out of the game, and then he'll come back in and average, you know, 85.
Yes. Yeah, I find it actually really hard to believe that he's a cheap buy. Like, I think if someone owns McCluggage, they know what he's done lately. Yeah. I actually think the better buy would be... What am I Berry? Hearing? I actually think the better buy is Berry. Just with... Like, he's only got the midfield status, so people probably don't see him as being as valuable. The guy's playing pure mid in his second year. He's a first-round talent. I really like him. And like you mentioned, there's a fair bit of age between Zorko and Beams. I think he's not going anywhere. Like, all he does is just win a heap of the pill. And I'm not sure Zorko is such a sell. I think, you know, because he came in later, he might age pretty well, and he's always a chance to get that forward status back. Like, maybe he just transitions into a half forward as he gets older and those young guys going through the midfield.
Yeah, it's a possibility. The other one I had was Reece Matheson, but I just don't know where he sits, to be quite blunt. So I'm not convinced he's a shoe-in to be in the best 22 at the moment. So I sort of avoided Matheson. Next one is Carlton. And I will say I didn't get hooked on any sells for Carlton. Cruiser's really not worth anything right now, to be fair. He might be a steak knives and might be a bit of a backup. He's just injury risk all the way through. I was unsure where to sit Murphy because I think he's got some value, but I don't think the value is great enough for anyone be happy to hand him over. It's just one of those. It's hard. So I reckon there are two big buys here at Carlton and maybe three. So Kennedy is the maybe third, while Wietering and Marchbank, I reckon, a top end value for defenders that aren't worth anything at the moment. You can get Wietering on the waiver wire in nearly every single draft league there is. So they're the two big buys for me, and I think Kennedy is starting to show the odd game that he will be a big scorer.
Yeah, and look, Matthew Cruz is cooked, so pick up the big Matthew Lobe, just pretty much free on any waiver wire floating around.
That's good. No, look.
Obviously, by your guys' reaction, it was.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I mean, I think you have to be in the right situation to be actually trading for those guys. I think you probably get them in the redraft. And if I'm actually in the redraft, the guy I'm probably targeting, in the next keeper draft, is probably Lachie O'Brien. And the reason being, you're talking about a top 10 draft pick, and Cade Simpson and Dale Thomas, they're going the way of the dodo. So I agree in looking at Carlton's defence, but I'm not sure I'd spend on it.
I've got no interest in Carlton players for the next couple of years.
Well, once Doc's back,
but are you going to be able to buy him, though?
Sorry?
You wouldn't be able to buy him, though.
Doherty?
Mm.
Well, it's probably the wrong time to buy him because someone would have sold him already to a contender, or a rebuilder, I guess. Yeah. No, but I'm saying he improves the defence around him.
Oh, yeah.
So next up is Collingwood, Mysells, Penderbury. It's age and role. There's too many midfielders there. We've been talking about this for a while. He's got really fantastic value right now. You've got to utilise it. I utilised only a couple of weeks. Jeremy Howe. It's age and also role. They need those key defenders, so he's going to close down more often than not. And we just talked about him before, Crisp. He needs to be sold while he's got that value. I just can't see him lasting with the group of defenders that they're actually building now at Collingwood.
I see Crisp going more into the midfield, to be honest.
I just don't see who he knocks out of the midfield to get time in there.
He has been rolling through there throughout the year, but I think with De Goey coming in, it's limited him a little bit more as well.
Yep. The buys, Adams right now, but that's losing his affordability very quickly because as soon as Treloar's gone, he's gone in the midfield. And to be fair, it's the only place really for him. He's either in the midfield or he goes to another club. And last but not least, and most people probably already have him on the radar, but the next big scoring superstar in the Collingwood jumper is Phillips. And if he isn't there already, you should be targeting him ready to go.
I definitely agree on Jeremy Howe. He's actually in my keeper league and I had him on my sell target, as you exactly pointed out there, Statesman. 28 years of age, going on 29 next year, and yeah, just the role he's got, and you'll still be able to get plenty for him, I think, because he's got that name value and still a pretty decent average this year.
Perfect. Moving on to Essendon now. This is going to amaze you guys, but my number one sell for Essendon is Devon Smith. Lunch meat himself. And you want to know why, gentlemen? He is the number one forward. He is the best forward going around, but he's actually only an M2 next year. That's all he actually is. So for a contender, this man is worth gold. You may be able to get Adam Treloar a clear swap for Devon Smith. So the number one to a top six midfield scoring midfielder. Devon Smith is tickety-boo this year. We don't know what his body's like. He's 25 years of age. How long is that going to remain? And I can guarantee one thing, he is a mid-only next year. What do you think of that one before I tell you my buys?
That's cool. Fine, I agree. Yeah.
Completely agree. Yeah.
I mean, if I was contending, I wouldn't sell him, but...
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I'd have to get a damn good package because, I mean, he's still going to be a valuable player as a midfielder, but just not as valuable.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Correct. I will say I tried to sell Devin Smith all week this week without trade deadline being today. Couldn't get a bite. Amazed me. The buy is this man sort of lost off the radar a little bit, and he might actually just be added as stake dives because everyone was hot at the beginning of the year, but they would have thought he'd disappointed. And that's Darcy Parrish. He's just off the radar, so he's available to be picked up, and the other one is Joe Danaher. What do you think of those two gentlemen?
Well, the Darcy Parrish one's an interesting one. He's been back in the team a couple of weeks and scoring... Well, sorry, his first half this week was scoring pretty well before it went non-existent, but I think he's just building back into the game, and I think he'll just build to next year. If I know Essendon are sort of in that finals contention, but... I think he'll build for next year and he'll be good to go. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see him with Stringer next as
he's
well.
He's a pretty interesting player because pretty much every week you think, oh, he's going to build into the game this week and he's going to be really good. And then he just peters. Like, I swear it's every week he gets to about 70 or 80 and you're like, oh, you know, that's great. Here comes the ton. And then he finishes on 80. It's just, yeah, I don't know. He could be anything next year, but I wouldn't be. I'm not sold on that buy.
Yep, and owners will be sick of it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. He's a because there's so many good young midfielders there, and you know, like Zacharakis is back. Like he's not ancient. Like he's getting towards the end. But you know, what if McGrath goes through the middle? And you know, there's another guy I think is an interesting buy candidate, and that's Kyle Langford. Who can certainly win his own ball, and he's done it nicely over the last, say, 5 weeks. So, you know, I'm not sure what I'd give up for these players. That's an interesting question.
Beautiful. Last but not least, we'll make this one quick and snappy because there's one overrated, there's one underrated right now, and that's a bit performance of the last 2 years. You sell Walters, you buy Neil for Fremantle.
Yeah, I agree selling Walters. I think that's 100%. But the guy I'm buying is it's Connor Blakely. I think it's really easy. I think he's one of the best targets going around because he ain't ever going to lose that defender status. Look at the way Fremantle have drafted. They've gone hard for mids. There's talk of Tim Kelly going over there. He's not shifting out of that defense. I love him. He's going to be a top-scoring defender possibly for the next 6-7 years. I think he's fantastic.
What are your thoughts on Adam Chira? Because he could be mid forward, mid defender. He could be anything really. I like the way he goes about his football. Played pretty well on the weekend as well.
Yep. Impressive, but in a keeper, I think everyone's got their eyes on him already.
Yep. No, fair enough. Just to wrap it up quickly, Steve, have you got anything there, or are you just going to save it until the teams come up?
Oh, we may as well just save it. I think that's.
Okay.
That works well. I think it's a good series. I think it's a great idea from the man we barely remember.
Well, we can't even see his face. Like, you know, we can all see each other. He's just got his little photo there.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't been able to see him all week.
Maybe he went to Thailand and got some cosmetic surgery.
Just got a Mike Tyson tattoo on his face or something like that.
That goes with his...
I didn't even realise it wasn't on. There you go. Hello.
Hey, there it is. It's just a head in the room.
I've been doing that for most of the show.
And we've seen nothing.
There you go.
Righto, I think that wraps up the show for this week. If you've won your grand final, congratulations. Well done to you. Hopefully we've given you a little bit of advice. But if you're in the middle of it, keep plugging along. And if you've just started, good luck in your matchups this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by following us on Twitter, @TheDraftDoctors, @Statesman33. at the Potato Bake, and ST Porter 15 as well. Search the Draft Doctors on Facebook and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
These only just snuck in, Jono. Yeah. 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 No, Marcus Adams didn't do much either, so. That's all right. That's all right. Yeah. 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 Yep, how'd it finish up? Yeah. Well, Ross got into fifth. That's a shame. Losing when he had like four extra men against Costa. What a dickhead. Fuck. All right, good work, guys. Which one? They're both tight. The redraft. Oh, fucking lost by a point with 17 against the top team. How bad's that? I don't know. Oh, it must have been the it must have been the one that said, because it's the fellow kids, so that might be on Facebook, actually. Fucking everyone does that, don't they? That's old Mez. He's like 4 weeks ago, he's like, I'm going for it. And then he sells all his gun players. Mez. Fuck, you should have seen the offer bloody Cox gave me this week. It was horrendous. It was like Dusty and Zach Williams for just four bitses. Like, what are you doing? He sent me a couple of shitty offers, to be honest. Nah, we got big cocks. So where I'll be? I'll be third. Thank you, sir. Oh, we were supposed to catch up, Johnny. Yeah. I've just about finished putting in some off-season show topics. So if there was anything you wanted in there, please let me know. I sort of based it around what numbers